Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is John Bradford from Wilderness Outreach. Welcome again, John.
Well, it's great to be back here again, Father. Looking forward to this again.
So we continue our series on masculine spirituality, which is really at the heart of John's apostolate, Wilderness Outreach. But as we begin, let us start with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your gift of creation. You have wondrously created us, a man and woman. We give you thanks even more so for the new creation in Christ. May by the gift of the Holy Spirit and the grace poured out into our hearts through the sacraments, we continue to be renewed evermore through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, John, we were talking about your own search for this masculine spirituality and kind of the challenge that Father Jonathan Wilson had given to you. And you really, as a man who was kind of trained in mathematics and physics and science, really looked at it first, or at least in a major way, from that sort of scientific perspective. So I thought we could first maybe look at the foundations of this spirituality in science.
Sure, yeah. So we had previously talked about this World Cup issue, about how the women's World Cup team actually plays 15 and 16 year old boys traveling teams to get in shape for the World Cup. That's who they play. And what they find is that 15 year old boys, they're kind of on a equal footing with, but when they get into that 16 year old boy level, they pretty much handle the women's World Cup. So anyway, when I got back, I was going to read Fides et Ratio, the theology of the body, and really study sex different science. But I really looked up this whole thing about the World Cup. I was really curious about that. And I stumbled onto this guy named Todd Gallagher, who wrote an article called Politically Incorrect Olympic Facts. I thought, well, that sounds interesting. So I opened it up and started to read it. And he was one of these guys that he was kind of a layman that is like sports, and he writes on sports a lot. He actually had played Andy Roddick in a tennis game. Andy Roddick used a frying pan, and Todd Gallagher used a tennis racket, and Andy Roddick beat him. And that was the name of his one article, was Andy Roddick Beat Me With a Frying Pan, right? So it's kind of an interesting character. But anyway, he decided he was going to write an article about the Olympic athletes, just from a lay perspective, so people could kind of understand what they're like. And when he started to interview them, he said he found out that there was a whisper out there amongst the Olympic athletes, and they were talking about this enduring difference between male and female that was never going to go away. Mm-hmm. And it was completely politically incorrect to talk about it. So he started studying it, and what he found out, and this has been proven out through many studies now, that if you take billiards, putting, running, jumping, pole vault, and shot put, men are better than women in all of those. And it increasingly gets more like that. So like on the level of billiards and putting, which you might say is kind of a finesse type game, even in that type of game, men dominate women. And it's like, and it just happens year after year. And then if you look at like the shot put and say the discus and the on the far end of those athletic events, men are bettering women by almost two times the distance. And there's been some great studies on that. If you look up, for instance, male high school athletes versus female Olympians, you'll find that high school boys basically dominate the Olympic champions of the world. And it's because of this male telos, this male body that they have, right? It's really interesting. So after reading that, I then took up the task of studying sex differences science, right? And I discovered this guy named Stephen Rhodes, who wrote a book called Taking Sex Differences Seriously, and he put together a review of all the studies that had ever been done at the time. And what he found was, one really interesting thing was that sex difference science was actually started by feminists who wanted to prove that sex differences were actually culturally determined, and that men and women were really very, very close, and it was just because we were giving trucks to young boys and baseball bats when they're young and giving baby dolls to little girls, right? And that was what caused the whole thing. They really believed that, but as these secular feminists who were actually, you know, good for them, they were good scientists, this data was coming back saying, sorry, no, there are enduring differences between the male and the female physically in a number of different things. And so to the point where some of the leaders of feminism at that time, I'd say Gloria Steinem and Gloria Allred, both said, stop doing that. We don't want to study that. It's un-American, right? So don't study that stuff. So it's really interesting that that these enduring differences are proved out. Some other things that he stumbled into was this problem with the breakdown of the family and the causes of moving from a natural family into, let's say, a broken family, right? And all the negative type of things that has, the effects that has on children and then people in general. So, yeah.
And, you know, there's, you know, we look at the differentiation between male and female, and it's, I do think, you know, so a lot of the kind of the differentiation that we have in our mind is cultural, you know, like, but it's to really get to the, just because there's so many that are cultural that aren't perhaps significant or substantial, right, is not to say that there aren't real differences.
Right.
And that's why we have to kind of lean deeper into the question,
right,
of what,
right,
is the real difference.
Yes.
Right. And that led you really to begin to look at the genetic difference.
Yes. Yeah. So it is true. I mean, we are human beings. We all walk and talk. And we have brains and we read and study and we do mathematics. So there's a lot of similarities there, right? And but if you start looking at on the genetic level, as you point out, in fact, Huntington F. Willard, PhD director of the Duke Institute for Genome Sciences and Policy, and he may be retired from that arena now, but he has been quoted to say, all told, men and women may differ as much as 2% of their entire genetic inheritance, greater than the hereditary gap between humankind and its closest relatives, the chimpanzee. So, and in fact, we have more genetic commonality, we as men, with the male chimpanzee than we do with the human female, which is pretty stunning, right? And I like this, a lot of times when I give these presentations, I'll look at the women and say, and your wives already knew that, right? So, but anyway, that's, and then we also have a, from Andrew Clark from Cornell University, said, we are only at the beginning to understand the full extent of the differences in molecular biology of male and female. So if we look at this, here's some obvious things, but it's good to state these and think about them again. So we as men have something in common that goes back maybe 2.5 million years into the development of humanity, right? And it's that we have a Y chromosome. And we got it from our fathers, and our fathers got it from their fathers, and it just goes right down generation to generation to generation. It's Y chromosome. Really different, completely asymmetrical from what the woman has on the genetic side, which are two X chromosomes. So we have an XY chromosome combination, and women have a two X, two X chromosomes. There's some interesting things that happen. In fact, there's a thing called the male mutation preference that's been discovered. And what that says and what it concludes is that if we look at the microevolution that we experience in the human being, which, say, going back to the Olduvai Gorge in Africa, when our ancestors 80,000 years ago climbed up out of the Olduvai Gorge, they had brown skin, brown eyes, brown hair, right? Then all of a sudden you fast forward to 10,000 years ago in Ireland, and we have human beings with red hair, green eyes, and very light skin. Now, why is that? So these kind of microevolutions of where people moved all over the planet and the environment started working on them, most of the 80% of those changes to the genetic makeup of the human being happen in the male creature. Mm-hmm. And we might say, well, why is that? Right? Well, some of those answers are obvious. One in particular is the fact that the male's reproductive system is basically on the outside of the body. So mm-hmm. they're basically subjected to all these forces in the natural world. Whereas the woman's reproductive system is held deep in her abdomen and covered up by protective layers of mm-hmm. muscle and fat and sinew and everything, right? So they're not as subjected, which is a very fascinating thing. You could almost make you could conclude there that males in general are more responsive to changes in the environment than mm-hmm. females are, right? For a good reason, because yeah. we were able to change and adapt to environments.
Or you could say it maybe that women are more stable and
exactly
you know,
right.
and are the well, kind of the more yeah, foundational.
Exactly. And I think we see that in women today. I think women are much more even-handed. They're much more stable and everything. And they take a lot less effort to form them into be good women than we have to yeah. do with our knucklehead brothers and sons and fathers, right? So as men, we're subjected to these changes in the environment, and we kind of fly off to the far side too easily.
Yeah. You know, and I think it. We already then begin to see some qualities that are essential to women and essential to men, even in this sort of very basic, look at, mm-hmm. at the genetics. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been John Bradford from Wilderness Outreach. Until next time, peace and all good.